This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-electric Prologue SUV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the generous passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
It is Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. Matt Meyer, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. We got a ton of people on, you know, talking about Tulsa, talking about sports villains. This is what this show is, and it works. And I got one person that writes here on my text machine. By the way, you can send me a text, a personal one, to a number that allows you to communicate on the show. I give this out every few weeks, 772-774-5254. One person writes, Matt, I think you guys are the best part of my Sunday morning. The reason being, you have conversations I want to hear rather than what I hear on most shows. See, that's right. I appreciate you recognizing that. There's only so many times you can talk about Brandon Ayuk. Like, what are you going to say after a while? You know, it's like, okay, the 49ers will be better with Brandon Ayuk. There's the end of the conversation for me, Myron, because I don't think most people would know what Brandon Ayuk looked like if he walked into a room with a shirt that said, my name is Brandon Ayuk. Well, like, it's not that interesting.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, I think, definitely to a lot of, like, NFL fans. I think what's really interesting with Brandon Ayuk is that, you know, there was a deal apparently for him to end up in Pittsburgh. I think he watched Russell Wilson and Justin Fields yesterday and was like, you know what? Let me go back to the 49ers on Monday and scrap all of that, because why would you want to end up there if those are your two quarterbacks?
Yeah. And there ends the part of the Brandon Ayuk conversation that I would find interesting, because you just run out of things to say about a guy that's like a receiver in San Francisco.
Do you know that we're doing the NFL pregame show next month?
I know, but like...
Okay, I didn't know if you knew that.
But you and I do it, I hope, the way you're supposed to do it, which is kind of like, what are the things that are fun, not let's talk the intricacies of Brandon Ayuk. But
I'm interested to see how people receive us on the road. Like, what that will look like.
Oh, they're going to receive us well. We're going to be... We'll be in Green Bay for the home opener, the week two of the season.
So
we hope to meet all of you all as well. I'm going to get back to the phones in a second, but I got a question for you, Myron. We've talked about this before. I'm a big believer. You got to have either somebody on a rookie deal or a Hall of Famer at quarterback. So what I'm interested in is how many quarterbacks out there, how many teams out there have a quarterback that their fan base feels confident is going to be their starter in 4 years? So I'm going to go through my list here. I'm going to read the teams. Yeah. Yes or no, Myron, their starting quarterback now, will they be their starting quarterback in 2027? Are you ready?
Yeah, that's a big number. Yep.
4 years from now, Buffalo.
Josh Allen, yeah.
Yes, okay. The Jets.
No.
Aaron Rodgers will not be playing there. So we have one with Buffalo. Miami.
Tua.
You got to be confident now. Yeah. Not could. Are you confident?
If I'm not 100% yes, so I'll say no.
Yeah, see, that's me. Very likely, but I'm not confident Tua is playing there in 4 years because he may not work out. Patriots with Drake May.
Yeah, I mean, they gave Mac Jones a lot of chances to be terrible, and Drake May, I think, would be better than that.
You think will be starting his fourth season?
Yeah, I think he will.
Okay, so that's two. Baltimore.
Lamar, yes. I think Lamar will
Three.
Be there.
All right. Cleveland.
No. No way.
No, Deshaun Watson.
He shouldn't be there this year. I mean, he's
Burrow.
Terrible. Yes. Burrow will be
all
there
right, in 2027. So that's four. Pittsburgh.
Who is their quarterback? No. No.
No, I agree.
Is no.
Jacksonville.
Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they're going to let him play out that deal. I think Trevor Lawrence will be there.
So you think that? So that's five.
Yeah.
Levis and the Titans.
I'm not 100% confident, so I'll say no.
You can't say it with confidence. Houston, C.J. Stroud. Yes. Right?
Making $450 million. No. I mean, we haven't seen enough.
You don't
I can't
know for
say
sure.
that. Yeah.
Yep. That's 6 out of 12. Denver. No.
No.
Kansas City. Yes.
Yes. Mahomes will be there.
Vegas.
No. I mean, who's it? Is Gardner Minshew right now? No.
No. Unlikely to be the one. Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
That's a tough one, man. Harbaugh comes in. I can see a world where Harbaugh is like, let me go out and get my guy and build him from the ground up if Herbert struggles over the next couple of years. That's a maybe. So if it's not 100%, I'll say no.
All right, so now you're – so you have seven of the first 16. Philly.
Jalen Hurts, my 100%. I'll say no because I'm not 100% he'll be there. I'm
just Giants.
Not. No. Daniel Jones might not be there tomorrow for all we know.
Dallas.
Point. No. I don't think Dak Prescott will be there, you know, maybe next year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Washington.
Man, Jaden Daniels, the young guy. Yeah. I think he'll be there in year four.
All right, that's eight. Chicago.
Yes. Caleb Williams,
yes. All right, nine. Minnesota, but I'll give you J.J. McCarthy.
If you give me McCarthy, I will say yes.
All right, 10. Green Bay.
Yes. I mean, they don't have a lot of high turnover quarterbacks. I'll say Jordan Love will be
11. Detroit.
No. Jared Goff will be – no.
New Orleans.
Derek Carr, no. No, no.
Tampa Bay.
No, Baker Mayfield won't be there.
All right, Atlanta. Kirk Cousins.
Who are you giving
or Felix. I'll give you Phoenix. Excuse me.
Phoenix? You're going to be Phoenix Jr.
Sorry,
or yeah. Kirk Cousins?
Either one.
Then yes, I'll take one of those two being the guy.
All right, so that's 12. Carolina, will Bryce Young still be the quarterback?
No, Bryce Young won't be the quarterback.
Rams.
Matthew Stafford, no, he will have retired, I think.
Seattle.
Is it Geno still? No, I don't think, no.
Okay. San Francisco, Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy will be, I think. All right. I mean, they're going to pay him.
And then finally, Arizona, Kyler Murray.
No. I don't think Kyler Murray would be.
So now you were being fairly conservative, and you said 13 of the 32 starting quarterbacks right now, or quarterbacks on a team, will be the starter in 2027. I went back and looked. Go back to 2020. Do you know how many teams have the same starting quarterback they had in 2020 this year?
I bet it's probably half. I bet a little bit over half, maybe.
How about eight?
Wow.
Eight.
From 2020.
And you got 13, and I thought you were being conservative.
Yeah.
So the point being, like, it's easy in our heads to say, okay, these guys, like, are the future. But the reality is, if you look at history, modern history, only 1/4 of the teams right now will have the same quarterback in 4 years they have now. 1/4.
That's amazing.
One in each division.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about this, like go back to 2020, you would have assumed Kirk Cousins. You would have assumed Aaron Rodgers, right? You would have assumed all these guys, and then they're gone. I think it's really interesting to think about. All these teams, probably 24 of the 32 teams, believe they have their long-term solution in place, but it is likely the situation, Myron. If only eight of them did 4 years ago, maybe only eight of them have now. And once you give me Mahomes and once you give me Burrow, it may only be like five or six teams, Myron, that actually have their guy in place.
Which is fascinating, man, because I think, too, even more so than a couple of years ago, like teams will get rid of guys. I mean,
yes,
what happened to Carson Wentz, Trey Lance? I mean, teams will move on if they feel like they don't have the guy.
All right, so last part of this. If I made you, like, bet your life five quarterbacks that are on a team today will be on there in 4 years. You got to bet your life.
Mm-hmm.
What is the list? For me, Mahomes is one.
Yeah.
Is Burrow two?
Burrow's two.
Okay, who's three? Bet your life.
Josh Allen. I think he's going to be
that
quarterback.
Would you put – bet your life Josh Allen is in Buffalo 4 years from now?
Yeah, they're not. I mean, he's going to be
there. Okay, so that's three.
He'll be there.
Then who's four?
I think Brock Purdy for me. They're going to pay him a bunch of money.
No.
I think they're going to pay him $300 million at the end of next year.
So you're going to put him – you put him four. That's surprising.
They're going
to
give him a $300 million deal.
Over Lamar?
Not over. Lamar's on the list. Lamar's number five.
So Lamar's number four. So you put Purdy five?
Yeah, I'll give Purdy.
You know who I'm going to put five?
You know what?
Because I think
it's got to be Stroud, right? That's hard with five.
Stroud, yes.
Give me Stroud over Purdy.
Over
although
Purdy?
Purdy's going to get $300 million. Like he's going to be on a team like that that has won that way with quarterbacks. I think it'll be Purdy.
I'd put Stroud, if you're just talking about 4 years from now, I'd put Stroud over Lamar. Because if Lamar had a couple years of injury, I could see a situation where they felt like they had to move on. So I would go for my list, Mahomes 1, Burrow 2. Actually, I'd go Stroud 3, Josh Allen 4, and then 5, probably Lamar. Although I could be talked into maybe – I could be talked into Caleb Williams, honestly, because I feel like the Bears are going to try their the hardest to make it work.
Caleb's on that list for me. I mean, Caleb I think will be there. But, again, if you're asking for guarantees, it's just hard to do that because we have watched teams pay guys eight-figure deals and then get out of it.
And then
and
get
just
rid of
take the dead. I mean, the Russell Wilson situation has changed everything I thought about quarterbacks and their futures. Because the money that Denver ate in order to move on from him says a lot about what teams are willing to do if they don't think they have their guy.
All right. Sports Villains are going on the phone. 888-SAY-ESPN. Do you have a guy that you'd put ahead of ours? I think the situation in all these franchises a lot more tenuous when you look at it historically than you think. But we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options. Easy to use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or in all situations. We will deal with more of this next here on Sunday Morning.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
As the number and severity of third-party breaches continue to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For security and compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta Questionnaire Automation, security and compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your security and compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, Smart Recruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit Vanta.com/podcast to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's VANTA.com/podcast.
It is Sunday Morning ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Meyer Metcalf. Been a lot of fun today talking to people about Sports Villains. Myron destroyed the city of Tulsa.
No, I didn't.
I feel like Tulsa has not done the best job defending itself as a vacation destination.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them one more chance, though, because – you know, we've been hard on Tulsa, and maybe Shane can make it a Tulsa turnaround. Shane, defend Tulsa.
Guys, I want you to know we have the number one museum for animal feces in the whole country.
What? What, man? What?
Animal feces.
Okay, so you got it. Wait a minute. You got to explain that. Tell me about the number one museum for animal feces.
We have their sculptures made of poop. Animal feces. Their
what is
sculptures.
It called?
It's number one in the whole country. You got to come check it out.
I don't think you got a lot of competition for it.
What is it called? What's the museum called?
It's a house of dung, I think.
Yeah,
all right, I'm looking it up. Animal Feces Museum. Is it the Poo Museum? No, that's
it's like
England.
Chunky Poopy. It's like Chunky Poopy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're being silly.
I thought, at first, but apparently, in looking this up, just so you know, there is a museum in England that is full of statues, all of which are made from feces.
Yeah, okay. My thing
on
is
on the Isle of Wight in England.
Yeah. Did people in Tulsa understand the question that you asked? Like, the goal was to promote Tulsa.
They haven't done a vacation destination.
And it feels like they scrambled to the phones but didn't really have speeches prepared.
To be fair, we did try. We gave you a chance.
We gave you a chance.
And you didn't really do it. But, by the way, there is such a place in England. It is dedicated to all the uses, Myron, of feces across human history in the ways to do the various ways people have used it to help improve their lives. It is in Bristol, England.
It's one of those things where you know there's just too much money in the world that someone could invest in that and make that
would
a thing.
Would you go, by the way? Would you go?
No, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't.
I went when I was in Europe. I went to the World Pig Museum. It claimed to have the largest collection of porcelain pigs on the planet. And I'm going to say they did because there was a lot of them.
Porcelain pigs?
Yeah, porcelain.
Is that a thing in England?
No, I think it's a thing around the world. Like a little little statue or whatever of pigs made of porcelain. Do you not have one of those?
Hey, I just don't. If you have a porcelain pig at your house, I won't be there. Like, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Know? You're going to think we're weird. Sam in South Carolina. Where are you in South Carolina, Sam?
I'm actually driving from Augusta back to Columbia right now, but I have to first clarify the villain from earlier. Kyle Busch is not a used-to-be villain. Kyle Busch is still a present villain. He still does that obnoxious bow and waves every time he wins. But my villain, I think y'all really looked over, was LeBron when he went to Miami.
LeBron in Miami was a villain.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly true. People did not like when he went to Miami. They didn't like he left his hometown. So I think I wouldn't consider LeBron a villain today, but I think Myron in Miami, he certainly was.
Yeah, I think if you would have made the list back then, I don't think as much now. But back to Kyle Busch, what do you mean he bows? Like
When he wins a race, he gets out of his car, and oftentimes people will be booing him, and he takes like a very exaggerated bow in front of the crowd as they're booing him.
Oh, man, that's terrible. That's his thing?
Yes, that's his thing. Okay. That's like the way he does. Did you see the race last week when Austin Dillon wrecked two people on the final lap? Did you see that?
I saw it, and there was almost a fight, right, over that?
Yeah, so he wrecks two. He comes down on the final lap. He puts two people in the wall. Then later, they find the audio of his spotter talking to him, right? And his spotter, he comes up on the first guy, and his spotter goes, wreck him, wreck him, wreck him. And he wrecks him, and then he gets to the other guy, and his spotter goes, wreck him too, wreck him too. And then he does. And so NASCAR has said he gets no points for winning that race because he wrecked two people.
Nah, I don't like him. I'm not a fan.
Well, that's Austin Dillon. That was
okay.
That was
different.
That was a different one. Craig in Michigan. Kyle Busch, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Oh, by the way, hang on a second. Kyle Busch is also the one, Myron, who, like, his wife was a hit woman or something. Do you remember that?
Wait, what? Hold on.
No, I mean.
What? It's an Angelina Jolie movie? What?
No, there's something about Kyle Busch. And his wife and a hit woman.
Can we pause for a second?
Kurt Busch.
Yeah. Let me pause for a second. You all, this is what it's like working with Matt Jones for the last 7 or 8 years, right? We'll have a moment like this, and Matt will be like, you know what? And you'll think it's going to be something you're prepared to hear. And then he'll say, isn't that the one whose wife was a hit woman?
Here, let me read you the story. It's actually his brother, Kurt. Okay. Here's the headline on NPR. Do you trust NPR as a news source?
Yeah, sure.
NASCAR's Kurt Busch testifies in divorce hearing. His ex-girlfriend is an assassin.
Okay.
Here you go. He said, Kurt Busch said in the thing that Driscoll is, quote, a trained assassin dispatched on covert missions around the world.
What? As part of their what? Divorce proceedings, you said?
He said once they went this is in the divorce proceedings. Busch offered up specific examples of her returning from missions. Once he said they were in El Paso, Texas, she left that night in camouflage and boots, returned later to the hotel with a trench coat on, and her evening gown was splattered with blood and other matter after one of her missions.
Yeah, my thing is, if your partner is leaving the house in one outfit and coming back in another, they might not be an assassin, but they might be on another team, if you get my drift. It might, you know, so I don't know. How random is that? What?
I know. I remember that story.
You know how mad I would be if somebody outed me as a secret assassin? Like, I trusted you, and my whole career is based on me being a secret assassin, and you told the world what I did? Like, come on.
I knew I remembered something about him. Craig in Michigan. Go ahead, Craig.
Yes, sir. I remember that Kyle Busch or the Busch story.
I'd be so mad, man.
But anyways.
Told you that in confidence.
Anyways, my villain is William Clay Ford. I've been a Lions fan since 1966. And we've always been the heel of the NFL. And I see Dallas being the same way.
When you say being a heel of the NFL, you're talking about the Detroit Lions?
Yes, the Detroit Lions.
But that's not what – you know, heel means like bad guy. Yeah. Nobody cares about the Lions enough to hate them.
Nobody cared.
I mean, you realize that, don't you, like, Craig? Like, nobody outside of Michigan hates the Lions.
Same with Jerry Jones, though. No,
the Cowboys. Okay, listen, I don't mean to be mean to you, Craig, because you seem like a nice fella. But the rest of the country has strong thoughts about the Cowboys. You do realize that no one thinks about the Lions except you all.
Well,
I don't mean to be mean.
There's a lot of people on the Lions bandwagon.
It don't matter.
I understand that, but that doesn't make you a villain.
Yeah, like, I don't think
that's like
Clay Ford was, because he would not. He ruined Barry Sanders. He ruined Megatron.
Okay, I got you. So he's a villain to your fans. I appreciate the call. That's a little different. That'd be like somebody going, you know, who's a villain is Illinois football.
But again, Midwest people think their pain is the world's pain. Like, you know, we don't know how to do it. Can I be honest with you about something? When he said William Clay Ford, I was trying to think about which president that was. And so I was like, William Clay Ford?
I was thinking about, wasn't there a movie called, like, The Assassination of Jesse James something? And I thought that was the guy that had killed Jesse James.
I was like, was that our 27th president? Who was William Clay Ford? If somebody uses all three of your names, by the way, you got to be wealthy.
You assume they were either wealthy or signed the Declaration of Independence.
Or an assassin. You either an assassin or you signed the Declaration or you're very, very rich.
Yeah. All right. Well, William Clay Ford. There was a name. It was called The Assassination of Somebody.
Jesse James. I've seen that. Yeah,
that's kind of what I thought it was. There are a lot of sports headlines that we haven't hit today. I know that shocks you if you've listened. So we're going to bring you up to date on all the headlines that you missed in today's show. That's next right here on Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio with Matt and Myron.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
That's right. Sunday Morning, ESPN Radio, Matt Jones, Myron Metcalf, presented by Progressive Insurance. Beautiful day. Myron, you're in Minneapolis, right?
Yep, that area. Yep.
And I'm in New York City, looking down upon the concrete jungle where dreams are made of, Myron, here. Do you like New York City? Spent a lot of time here in your life?
Love it. I turned 21 in New York City. I was living there, man, as a young guy.
What part of town did you live in? What was the Myron neighborhood?
East 55th between 2nd and 3rd Ave in Manhattan.
Okay,
yeah.
So you were kind of Upper East Sider, hitting in that, people? That's kind of
I loved it, man. I loved it.
I love New York, too. It's great. And wherever you are, it's different. You can find different neighborhoods, hundred different ethnic neighborhoods in New York.
It's amazing.
It's a great place. All right. We talked a lot about some of the things that interested us, but there's a lot more happening in the world of sports, and our goal is to keep you knowledgeable about it. So it is time for Sunday Headlines. All right, Josiah is going to be reading us all the various headlines. Let's get started. What's up first?
All right, last night we had UFC 305, where I might butcher his name, but Dricus du Plessis? Is that terrible? Is that Mikey C. Esque?
That's close.
Right. It was in Perth, right? Wasn't it in Perth, Australia?
Yeah. Just call him DDP.
DDP's submitted Israel Adesanya in his return match to retain the UFC middleweight championship. Myron, this is right up your wheelhouse. What'd you think about the main event of UFC 305 last night?
Well, a lot of bad blood. DDP is from South Africa. Israel Adesanya, who was born in Nigeria but trains out of Australia and New Zealand. So there was a lot of beef there. But I thought DDP won fair
why
and square.
Why is there a lot of beef there? Like, why?
Because DDP is a white guy who was bragging about being the real African champion.
Oh.
And it kind of...
I missed that in the headlines. Yeah, okay,
kinda,
my bad.
Yeah, kind of created some drama, as you might imagine. And he came out to a song where the person was singing, like, Africa. But at the end, they squashed it. I think he won fair and square. I think he's got a bright future ahead. And Israel Adesanya is 35, probably on his way out, but good fight.
Perth, Australia is the western part of Perth. You know, Myron, not a lot of it's a very unique place. Like, all the people live on one side, and it's on the other side, right? Mm. And so they're kind of like a lone group of people. I've known a couple people from Perth. They party. It was an interesting place to put it. It would be, I don't know, it's like putting it in like Minnesota in America. So UFC continuing to go around the world.
Yeah. Good. I mean, it looked like a great environment. The Aussie, are they Aussies? Is that what they call them?
Yeah, they go.
They are big-time fight fans. Yeah,
yeah. Big time. They are big-time party fans.
There's a guy who fought. He didn't do it yesterday. When he wins, he lost yesterday, Tai Tuivasa, he does shoeys after he wins. You know about shoeys?
Where you drink what, like beer out of your shoe?
Beer out of something, but he'll take a random person's shoe.
Oh, that's so gross.
So people will hand him their shoe, pour a beer in it, and he'll chug it after
that's
he wins.
That's really, really gross.
Yeah. Feels like that can't be sanitary.
Probably not. Josiah, what's next?
All righty, guys. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce may have been in midseason form already yesterday. Patrick Mahomes pulled off an amazing around-the-back pass to the tight end, and here's how it sounded on 106.5 The Wolf.
Steele gets it. No, they're going to fake it to him. They get it to Kelce on that RPO fake, and he throws it behind his back. Mahomes has been practicing this at camp. Everybody's wanting him to do it. He just did it for 9 yards. He did one at the goal line at St. Joseph that was absolutely perfect as Mahomes did it again. There's most quarterbacks that couldn't throw that forward with that much accuracy as he goes behind the back and a gain of 8 yards to Kelce.
All right, Matt, how'd you feel about Mahomes trying the trick pass in the preseason here to Travis Kelce?
Loved it. Thought it was cool. If you're going to do it in the preseason. If anybody has the swag and the reputation to be able to pull it off without it looking bad, it's him. Throw it to Kelce so the Swifties get excited. My only problem with this, Myron, is that announcer. He wasn't nearly excited enough about it. I mean, like, play the beginning of that clip again, just the first few seconds of it.
Steele gets it. No, they're going to fake it to him. They get it to Kelce on that RPO fake, and he throws it behind his back.
Mahomes That's what, not nearly him. Enough excitement. Yeah. I mean, he's like, throws it to Kelce. Like, you got to be more. I mean, that dude's a legend. I don't know his name, but I mean, I heard him on many clips. But, like, I need more excitement on a behind-the-back pass, Myron.
Yeah. My theory on all broadcasts is that every broadcast should have a wrestling announcer standing by for moments like
that.
So that you bring them in. Because that's one of the most ridiculous things I've seen. That is an actual NFL game where people are trying to tackle you and he throws it behind the back. It also made me realize, Matt, there are going to be a bunch of people who don't win rings out of the AFC or don't ever get a chance to go to the Super Bowl because of Patrick Mahomes. He's that good. And to be able to do stuff like that, it's like, man, get ready for another decade of him winning Super Bowls every other year.
Yeah. All right, who's up next? Or what's up next?
All right, yesterday the Liberty took on the Aces, and the Liberty got the win, and it clinched their playoff berth. Myron, you know, the Aces are trying to be three-time champions here, but are Liberty the best team to end that, and they take it all on at the end of the season here?
What'd you just say, man? What was that? You're like, hey, Myron.
Are the Liberty the best? Have the best chance to win the championship?
Like, you're doing a great job today. But I got a question for you. Did you plan that question until the words were coming out of your mouth? Because it felt like you just kind of meandered.
I didn't want to just be like, are they going to win the championship? I tried to get creative there, and it didn't work out. Thanks for calling me out. Appreciate you guys.
The Liberty, the best. Frank Sinatra of the Aces.
You asked Myron that question like my friends who smoke weed. And at the end, when I'm talking to them, and at the end of the question, words just tail off a little bit. That's what
I love
it. But go ahead.
I love it. No, but you know, I think the Liberty with Stewie, Sabrina Ionescu, I mean, they are playing very, very well. I mean, I want to see that collision, right? I think everybody wants to see New York against Vegas. I mean, I think that's probably the hope for a lot of people. And I think if you get that matchup, and then if you, to me, get Caitlin Clark also into the playoffs somehow, and right now Indiana's the 7th seed, I think you're going to have a really, really cool playoffs for the WNBA.
I agree. And by the way, on Sabrina for a second, I think there's a real argument that in the last 3 years, the best like individual sneakers that have come out, you know, I'm a sneakerhead, are Sabrina's. A lot of people wore them at the Olympics. Yes. I bought a pair for the first time the other day. The Sabrina's might be the best new shoe to come out in quite some time for a basketball player. You know, when you got dudes lining up to buy a woman's player's shoe, I think that's a really good sign for her future as well. She's kind of overlooked a lot with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. What's next? Josiah, you go make it up on this one. I know.
I'll try my best, but we'll see what happens here. Carlos Alcaraz, a Spanish tennis player, one of the best in the world, he got pretty upset in the third set of his Cincinnati Open loss. How do you guys feel about just reacting like that?
I'm okay with it. Like, I like he was playing Gael Monfils, who's one of my favorite tennis players because he's very French and he's very charismatic.
He's overly French, I feel like, but yep.
He's very, very French. I will say this, though. I saw a tweet this week that I thought was really funny. Myron, you know, in tennis, you have the four majors. What are the four tennis majors, Myron? Let everybody know.
Wimbledon, U.S. Open, French Open, Australian Open.
There you go. But then there's eight other, what essentially major non-majors, right? The equivalent of the Players' Championship in golf. Yeah. Did you know that?
I didn't know there were eight. I know there are some big tournaments.
Would you like to guess where those are?
But probably New York and Paris. Those are the only places they play tennis outside of the majors.
So that's where the majors. So here's where they are, just so you know. Monaco, Rome, Shanghai, Tokyo, Indian Wells, and then the suburbs of Cincinnati.
Yes, okay, I remember that. Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious. They, like, go to the most exotic places in the world, but then one of the two major non-Grand Slam events in America is literally next to Kings Island in Cincinnati, where you can ride the roller coasters. Yeah. I don't know how Cincinnati pulled that off, Myron, but the fact that one of the most important tennis tournaments in the world is in Cincinnati, and not even in Cincinnati, in the suburbs of Cincinnati, is something that I really like.
Yeah, Skyline Chili ain't that good. I mean...
Literally, I've been to that tennis tournament. When you're sitting on center court, you hear the roller coaster, the beast, in the background. You hear people screaming, going up and down the roller coaster.
Yeah, that's wild, man. I mean, the racket smash, my thing is always like, let's not pretend they don't have others. People always act like that's their only – this ain't somebody on your eighth grade tennis team doing that. I mean, he'll be okay. But
I read a book that said for players, Myron ranked 100th. Or worse in tennis, that those players, you know, they don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
The way they make the most money is a few of them learn to string tennis rackets, and they make more money stringing the tennis rackets than they do playing.
Like stringing the tennis rackets for other people?
For their competitors, yes.
Wow. Is that like being an athlete and like the 13th dude on your team can cut hair?
Yes. The guy who was on the Bulls just because he was friends with Dennis Rodman, that guy named Jack. What was his name? Haley, maybe?
Yeah, like Giannis's
brother.
You're
on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Giannis's brother. You're on the team solely to make sure Dennis doesn't get drunk tonight.
That's your only role.
Sure you do it. Well, thank you very much to Josiah for those headlines. He did an excellent job. And now there's more to this show. It's a Sunday. You've got to figure out what you're going to watch today. We're going to help you make your picks on who's going to win the big events. That's next here on Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio.
Traveling to see your fave sports team is cool, but traveling with Amex Platinum for the big game is even better.
Right this way.
With access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, you can skip the line.
And one.
And with access to the Centurion Lounge,
he shoots a three.
you can catch the next game on the way home. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a 7-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, from 2-for-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats will be dropping new deals each week, all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It is Sunday morning on ESPN Radio. Been a great show today. Had a lot of fun with my man Meyer Metcalf. You know, that's why you listen to this. You never know what's going to happen. Myron insulted the city of Tulsa. Tulsa fought back, but not well. It was
terrible. They didn't.
Probably a losing effort for Tulsa citizens trying to defend their city. We talked about great sports villains, had a good conversation, and learned about the World Feces Museum. So, Myron, I consider that to be a very successful August show.
And a show only we could do. I don't know what you all thought you were going to listen to over these last 3 hours, but you can't get this anywhere else, I don't think.
Yeah, you can. I mean, for better or worse.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
You know, whether you like it or not.
That should be the name of the show.
At least unique.
For better or worse.
Yeah. Although that's what women in my life who I wanted to date, but it didn't work out, they would say to me, you know, you're very unique. You're a very unique
You know
person.
I love you.
It is now time to take your pick. All right, here we go. You give us the picks, or you give us the games. Myron and I will tell you who's going to win. What's up first?
All righty, we're going to head to Williamsport. Yankees versus...
I'm not.
No, you're not.
Go.
For the Little League Classic, Yankees versus Tigers will be on at 7 p.m. ESPN and ESPN Radio. Myron, who you got?
I mean, Yankees obviously are going to win that game. It probably won't be close, but what's cool is,
why do you say obviously the Tigers are the favorite?
Why are they the favorite over the Yankees?
Because they're better right now. The Yankees have been terrible, and and I don't know who's pitching, but I would assume the better pitcher's pitching for the Tigers today.
I get the Yankees going 7-5 whatever in their last 12. They're going to figure it out. What I was going to say is, it's cool to watch them getting off the plane headed to Williamsport. Like, I think what the Little League World Series does such a great job of is pairing Major League Baseball to this event and getting the stars involved. That's got to be a really cool experience for everybody who was a part of that.
Yeah, the Tigers are pitching Tank Scooby, or Scuba. And he's 14-4, Myron, with a 2.53 ERA. So I'm going to take the Tigers. Do you know about Tank, by the way?
No, but I mean, they're 500. Like, the Tigers are not
but
a
Tank
good team.
Is 14-4. He's got a 2.3.
He's a Cy Young candidate, right? But his team isn't great.
I have to tell you, this is a bad sign for Tank, though. I just first of all, his name is not Tank. His name is Tarek. Why does ESPN have it listed as Tank?
Where's it listed as Tank?
ESPN.com.
Because he's a tank, dude.
It's Tarek.
I'm over here saying his name is Tank confidently because of ESPN, and then ESPN's just wrong on their website. It's Tarek Scooball.
Is it Tarek or Tarek?
Or is it Tarek?
You know what? Let's go to the next one.
It's Tarek. That ain't a Tarek.
It's Tarek. So Tarek. You looked at him and then
I looked at him. That's not a Tarek. Yeah, that's
not a Tarek.
Yeah, that's not a Tarek. I just looked at his picture. That's not a Tarek.
You look at the picture and that's not a Tarek.
No, that's
a Tarek.
That's a Tarek.
All right, who's next?
At 1:40, Mets Reds will be taking on the Royals. Both are set for -110. Matt, who you got in that game?
They're terrible. My Reds, first of all, they put Hunter Green on the DL, so we lost our best pitcher. He was a Cy Young contender, and now he won't be. I think yesterday I turned on the game, it was the fourth inning. We were down 13-0, and I decided, all right, I don't have to watch this one. I'll take the Royals. Royals are good, by the way. Royals are they're going to make the playoffs. They're a good team. Reds have not been – they've disappointed this year, so I'll take the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, I think Royals definitely a team to watch. You know what I mean? As we get down to the final weeks of the season and we try to figure out who's an actual sleeper, I think the Royals are in that conversation. Your boy Ellie's been great, but the team hasn't been great. Yeah. So, you know.
Ellie and Hunter Green have been awesome. I mean, they won't – like, Ellie's an MVP contender, and Hunter's a Cy Young contender, but the team still stinks.
Yeah.
And that's a bad sign. What's next?
At 235, the Twins take on the Rangers, both a minus 110. Myron, who you got?
Yeah, I'm not going to pick against the Twins. I mean, they play some good baseball. 14 games over 500, I think. They had to deal with certain injuries. Byron Buxton – going down is kind of an ongoing thing. They've lost a pitcher. But I think the Twins win this. And I think they're also in that mix. I think the Twins are a top eight team in Major League Baseball right now.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, Twins Twins are going to win. The Rangers, the most disappointing team in baseball this year.
Yeah.
Probably when you look at it. Pablo Lopez is pitching, if I can assume that ESPN is correct in the names. And Tyler Mahle, a former Red, pitching for the Rangers. I'll take the Twins. What's next?
We head to our WNBA slate today. 3 p.m. on ESPN+. The CT Sun take on the Atlanta Dream. Matt, who you got? Sun or a 7.5-point favorite?
Well, you're going to take the Sun, right? Like they're 19-6. They're 7.5-point favorite. I like the Dream because of Ryan Howard, who played here at Kentucky. But nevertheless, yeah. I will take the Sun, one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pick the Sun. I mean, pay attention to the Sun, the Minnesota Lynx, and all these other teams that people aren't talking about because there's so much, Vegas and Liberty and Fever conversation, but the Sun could win it all and spoil all those dreams. So I think.
Can I ask you a question, Myron? Ryan Howard, who we're talking about playing on the Atlanta Dream, she former Kentucky player. She played in the Olympics in the 3-on-3 competition,
yeah.
As did a lot of women who just. I mean, Ryan Howard just missed out on the Olympic team,
yeah.
And pretty much the 4 or 5 women that were kind of close to making the Olympic team went ahead and played in that. Why don't you think our men do that? Why do you think our men will not play in the 3-on-3?
I don't know. I think there's the idea that it's maybe beneath them in some ways, that it feels a little bit like playground ball maybe or pickup ball to them. So then we end up sending like Jimmer. Is Jimmer 48 now? Because I feel like this is his ninth
when
Olympics.
When I turned on and it was Jimmer, I was like, is this the big three? What are we doing? Like, why are we not sending? I mean, Ron Howard is an all-star and nearly made the U.S. Olympic team and played 3-on-3, but the men can't get anyone in the NBA to play. That seems odd to me. Feels like something that should be fixed. What's next? Yeah.
At 3:30 on ABC, Seattle Storm take on Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. The Storm are 3.5-point favorite. Matt, who you got?
I'll take the Storm. They're on the road, but, Clark's been – well, this is her first – she only played one game since the Olympics, but I think the Olympics sort of gave her a chip on her shoulder. But still, I'm going to take the Seattle Storm, a great name, to win on the road.
You know what's cool about this Caitlin Clark break is, I mean, not being on the Olympic team only gave her a month to just really get better. You know, we talk about Madeline college basketball, the freshmen in November are sophomores by February. I feel like that's the case potentially with Caitlin Clark as well. She looked incredible the other day, looked like she'd taken her game to another level, but Skylar Diggins and Agumu Kay and Jewel Lloyd, like Seattle's legit. They'll win this game.
All right, there you go. Let's do one more. Let's do an NFL game before we go. What do you got?
Let's see. Let's do this one. Saints at 49ers. The 49ers are a 1-point favorite. Both games are at 8 o'clock today, by the way. Packers at Broncos. Matt, who you got? Saints or 49ers?
Yeah, if you bet preseason football, you should call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yes,
and so I will not bet it. As far as what I want to see, the answer is nothing. You can't make me watch these games if they don't have rookie quarterbacks. So, Myron, I will pass and let you pick.
Okay. I don't think that's the way the show works, but all right. I'll pick the 49ers as the home team.
No, I'll
I think
take
defensively
the Saints,
they'll be a little more active. Okay. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I don't know what show you were doing. All of a sudden, you're doing somebody else's show. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I was doing passwords. Thank you all very much for listening. I hope you have a great afternoon. We will be back again tomorrow, our first to get ready after the first day of football. Week 0 is next.
from ESPN Podcast and Omaha Productions.
Ready? Here we go.
Coach is a new groundbreaking educational football podcast hosted by NFL legends Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and Michael Lombardi. In each episode, the coaches break down game-changing situations and front office management tactics, sharing insights from decades of coaching experience and opening up the Bill Belichick Encyclopedia of Football Knowledge. Created by football legends for football fans. New episodes of Coach drop weekly. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.